See, we'd like God to come in at the sickness point, but he says, you know what? I think I'll wait till the death point. Why? Because at the sickness point, you can still get medications and prescriptions and pain meds, and you may remove the inconvenience. God is saying, no, but if I come in at the death point, then I'll deal with it once and for all, and you will have no mistaking who gets the glory. The glory will go to God.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a story we've all heard 100 times before. It's the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Yet, Pastor Wayne is going to be coming at it from a completely different angle. We'll see how Jesus needed the cooperation of others to make the miracle happen. So, what about that miracle you've been praying for? Could it be that God is awaiting your cooperation? Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Paying the Price.
God's doing great things in our midst. And sometimes he utilizes one thing to do something far deeper, as we're about to see in John chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, would you please turn for a moment into John chapter 11. Now the whole chapter is going to be devoted basically to one miracle. The miracle of the raising of Lazarus, who was the brother of Mary and Martha. Lazarus is sick, will die, and Jesus is nowhere near. So we're going to start in verse 1, and let me read it for you as you follow along. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one who you love is sick. Now what you're about to find out in just a second is that each of us has a piece to the miracle. Each of us owns a piece to the miracle. And as I read this, I want you to kind of catch it. Now, can God do everything himself? Absolutely. He who holds the stars and space and the orbits and the planets in the darkness. The Bible says he holds all things together by the word of his power. Can he snap his finger and a parking structure appears? Absolutely, absolutely. But you're going to see that by his ultimate and infinite humility, he's going to pause so that you and I will be able to have a piece of that miracle. And you hold it. And you're about to catch it. I'm going to read through this and I want you to catch and see if you can find the piece of the miracle that the Lord offers to these people here. Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. Rather, it's for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha, loved her sister, loved Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Oh, Lazarus is sick. He stayed at the Hilton 2 more days. Do you understand that? Now, it doesn't seem right. First of all, if you cared for him, you'd go. That really confuses me. But instead, he delays. How many of you know God's time watch is different from ours? And how many of you know that sometimes that frustrates us to no end? Yeah. See, God's calendar is not always matching up with ours. But nevertheless, we know that he loves them. But wait a minute, then it should be reading like this. God loved Martha, God loved Mary, God loved Lazarus, so he got on the next bus from Waikiki and took off to Maile. And to go to their house. And there, as soon as he saw Lazarus and his sore, he put salompa on it and gave him some Neosporin for his problem, aspirin and Tylenol for his pain, and voila, he felt better. End of story. Now that would sound more like it, wouldn't it? But instead it says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he what? He stayed 2 more days. He delayed. There's a much bigger thing that's going on. I'm seeing something larger than your convenience. This sickness isn't unto death. It's for the glory of God. Something's going to happen, and you're going to see God get glory. You want me to come and fix sickness. I plan to come and fix death. You want me to come and give you relief. I want to come and give you redemption. Yes. You want me to come and fix it. I'm here to give you a future in it. You want me to take away what has been inconvenient, but I want to come and take away what has been incapacitating you. Amen. Something far deeper.
Yes.
And so God says, if you'll allow me, this will turn out to be for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but God, for the last 21 years, has always given us inadequate facilities. Inadequate parking. And we always have to make do. And so we pray, God, help me win the lottery. But God is saying, I'm going to delay because there's something else I'm doing that's deeper. What? Yeah. And he didn't wait 2 days. He waited 21 years. Why? Well, because, you see, there are thousands of people's lives that I want to transform. Marriages that I want to heal. Futures that I want to develop. Young people that I want to deepen in character so that they become leaders here at this church. I want to redistribute the congregation because at once we're 14,000 here. I want to redistribute it so now we have 24 new hopes in this city.
Yeah.
24 churches that were birthed out of this womb. And there's young leaders like 15 years ago, John was interned here. There's things that I am doing that's far deeper than just removing your inconvenience. And if you'll allow me to delay, you will see the glory of God. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, I broke my leg Friday night at a basketball game, and I was on the basketball team. It was a 5 foot and under league, but it was Friday, and we lived at this time. My dad retired from the Army, and we moved from here to Oregon for a little while, and we were in this little town called Trail. Well, the high school is 24 miles away, so after I broke my leg, my bone was just a little off like this, I got on the bus and got home. Well, because Trail is such a small town, the clinic was closed, the medical clinic. And so I had to wait, so I took a bunch of pain meds, elevated my leg, put it on a pillow, and everything was fine. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Monday was a holiday, so it wasn't open. So I had to wait till Tuesday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday I go in. By this time, my bone is calcifying a little bit. So I had some crutches, and I went into the clinic. The doctor took a look at my leg and said, we need to x-ray this. And then he said, we need to x-ray it from another angle. And then another angle until he had a full circumspect view of exactly what was going on. Then he put me on this little gurney bed in his room, closed the door, and he said, Wayne, your leg is broken, but it's been calcifying a little bit. So I said, okay, well, if you just help me to just be restful and make the pain go away, just give me some meds. He says, oh, I can do that. I said, well, good, that's kind of what I want, just let it heal. He said, well, I can let it heal like that and take away some of your pain, but if I let it heal like that, you will never get full use of it in the future because it will heal incorrectly. It's already been calcifying. And so I want you to have full use of your leg. So I can either give you a few more pain meds to make it more convenient for you and more comfortable, or I can reset your leg. I said, what does that mean? He said, oh, not much. It's just... He lied to me. He lied. I said, what do you mean? He says, oh, I said, will it hurt? He said, it'll just pinch. You'll feel a pinch. He lied to me again. I said, oh, really? You just can't let it heal. He said, you can, but there's so much more at stake because your future is ahead of you. And he feeling my leg like this. And he says, so, you know, we're just going to take care of this right now. Oh, yeah, he lied. Doctors lie, you know that? And then he looked down at my shoe because I was wearing a cowboy boot, and he said, nice cowboy boots. And I was just about to tell him how much I enjoyed it when he went, whack! When I finally pulled myself off the ceiling, I said, don't touch it. He said, oh, it's all done now. We're just going to put it on a cast. I said, you touch it again, I will kick you with my good leg. But you know, sometimes God's like that. He's not there to just remove the inconvenience. There's something far greater, and so he delays. He delays because there's something that has to happen in us, through us, among us. You understand? But we want him just to remove the inconvenience, make things a little nicer for us. He says, oh, no. No, I'm going to do more than that. You see, we'd like God to come in at the sickness point. But he says, you know what? I think I'll wait till the death point. Why? Because at the sickness point, you can still get medications and prescriptions and pain meds. And you may remove the inconvenience. But God is saying, no, but if I come in at the death point, then I'll deal with it once and for all, and you will have no mistaking who gets the glory. Yeah. Yeah. The glory will go to God.
Yes.
You see, if God comes in at the sick point, it's like, I can scoot in. It's like, it wasn't really God. So you know what God does sometimes? He waits until the death point. And then you know it's God. And if you allow God to work, even when things get bad, God says, watch, because I have a bigger plan for you. You see, for those he loves, sometimes he delays. He's not into just taking care of inconveniences. He says, if you'll let me come in at the death part, then you'll see a greater glory. Invite him in. Well, Lazarus dies while Jesus is delaying. And we're going to go to verse 32 and we're going to find out what happens. But I want you to watch now for their part and their piece of the miracle. When Mary, verse 32, reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And here we have the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but most powerful, isn't it? That tells us the compassion of our God. Even though he knows the end from the beginning, he knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He never, never misses a tear. And he never wastes a hurt. But he weeps with you. Will you remember that? Never think that God doesn't care. And by the way, if you want to start memorizing scripture, start with this one. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Now you're always going to have the belly achers and cynics because others said, could he who have opened, the one who opened the eyes of the blind man, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? You're always going to have those. Jesus was deeply moved, and he came to the tomb. Now, there was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there should be a stench, bad odor. Because he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe that you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. I think that one verse is kind of the favorite of high schoolers. By this time, some version says, he stinketh by now. And I said, that's your favorite verse. Why? The high school kid said, because I said, that's like your room. It stinketh. By the way, now sometimes God waits for things to get pretty smelly before he moves in. And when he does, though, you'll see the glory of God if you'll allow him to, because it's never too late. It's never too late. But you have a piece of the miracle. Let's continue and see what happens. Then Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? 41. So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out. Now his hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen like gauze and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus just did, believed him. I want you to see what's going on. That Jesus comes even though it's smelly, and a miracle's about to happen. But did you catch their piece in the miracle? Did you catch it? I just read right over it. I didn't comment on it. But when he came to the cave, there was a stone across it. Do you think God could have removed the stone? But did you hear what he said to the people? What did he say? You take the stone away. And then when Lazarus came out, he had gauze on him or band-aids, I don't know. And they said, take off the gauze. Do you think God could have taken off the grave clothes himself of Lazarus? Absolutely. God could have stood at that cave and said, stone, move. And that stone would have gone, yes, sir. Grave clothes, come off. Absolutely. You know why I can say that? Sounds a little funny. But he proved it on Easter morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they came to the tomb, the stone had been
rolled away.
And when they went into the cave, the grave clothes were on the slab of rock where he was laid. Could he have done it on his own?
Yes.
Absolutely proved it on Easter morning. Then why? Then why does he pause and say, you guys move the stone? You see, it was their piece of the miracle. You guys take the gauze off. You take the grave clothes off. You roll away this. And you know what God was saying? Here's what he's saying. I'll take care of the resurrection. You just move a couple of stones. I'll take care of bringing life out of death. You just take off band-aids.
Yeah. Yes.
But we'll do it together. That's your piece of the miracle.
Yes.
And together we're going to do it. Yeah, but Lord, ours is just so small. No, that's your piece of the miracle. I'll take care of the resurrection. Your piece, move a couple of stones out of the way. Move a few bandages. And that is what I ask. Can you see with me the infinite humility of Jesus? Who could have done it himself, but allows us to be a part and calls it, we did this together. What? You can, I can't, I'm just moving a couple of stones. No. That's your piece of the miracle. The infinite humility of God, who doesn't need us at all, but he invites us in. and then says, thanks. Some time ago, you know, I wanted to learn how to weld, and in the summertime, and because I started ministry when I was 19 years old, and as a minister, you don't weld that much. I mean, you don't see me up here. Let me tell you about welding. You just don't. So one of my bucket lists was I'd like to learn to weld. So I went down to KB Toy Store and bought us welder, 1995. It has a little flame on it. And I thought, I'm going to weld some stuff. Well, I have some horses at our family farm, and I wanted to build some horse saddle racks. They're big, you know, so you need some steel and stuff. So I thought, I'm going to weld my own saddle racks. So, but I didn't know the first thing about how to even use this welder that I purchased. But there's a man down the street. He's kind of a rusty old rancher, and he's a blacksmith. He does everything. He's very self-reliant. His name is Bill Swaggerty. So I went down and I said, Bill, will you teach me how to weld? He said, oh, absolutely. He said, bring your welder. I'll show you how to use it. So I go on, you know, and I put my welder in my glove compartment, and I drive to his ranch, and I take it out, and I said, here it is. And he did the same thing you did. He laughed. He just like, that's what you're going to weld the steel with? I said, yes. I turn on that flame. I hold it against that steel. An hour later, the thing ain't even warm yet, you know? I'm like, okay, it'll start. He says, let me use my welder. He brings this gargantuan transformer thing out, rolls it out, pulls it out. Hoses are like this big. I think it's plugged into a nuclear power plant. He turns that thing on, whoosh. And man, he starts welding. It's like a flame and sparks are going everywhere. It's an electronic thing. And I thought, wow. And he says, now you sand it. So I got some sandpaper. I'm sanding. He says, no. And he brings out this grinder. And sparks are going everywhere. I'm hiding behind the barn. And he's grinding it all down. And he says, all right, now, Wayne, let's paint it. So I get out a rattle can. He says, oh, no. And he gets his shh. I mean, it's just beautiful. We make several of them. And then when it's done, he says, I'll come and help you hook it up, put it in, you know, screw it into the wall for your saddle. So, oh, great. Put it in the pickup. Comes to the house, and I bring the saddle racks. My wife comes out, and I say, honey, look what I made. And Bill is there. You know, he's so kind. Yeah. You got a good husband. He did such a good job. And I look back at that and I think of the infinite humility of this man and the amount of work that he did. But he credits some of that to me. I think, no, you're the one that did it. I just kind of stood around and sanded a little bit. But I was thinking, that's what God does. God says, I'll take care of the resurrection. You just move a couple of stones. And we'll do it together. I'll bring life from death, possible from the impossible. That which was impassable, I will bring you over. You just take off some gauzes. And we'll do it together. See, that's your piece of the miracle. Some of you, you still need some gauzes to be removed. Well, what do you mean? Well, you see, there's some of you that have been injured long ago, and God is saying, I want you to take that grave clothes off because I've healed you. Oh, no. That hurt, and that was bad what that person did. I want you to take that gauze off. No. No, I've already healed, and you need to let that go and see that I've healed you, and it's time for you to move on. You're living with grave clothes on. And it's time for you to take them off. That's your piece of the miracle. I can heal you, young lady. I can heal you, young man. But only you can take those grave clothes off to say, I believe that I am healed in Jesus' name, and walk in your healing rather than question it. It's time for you to do that.
You've just heard a message entitled Paying the Price by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Do you remember what it was like being a child? When the playground instantaneously transformed into a rocket ship. When that cardboard box became your own Cadillac. Back then, anything seemed to be possible, and nothing could stop you. What about now? When was the last time you decided to dream? Have you stopped dreaming? Don't be afraid to think outside of the box and dream big. Don't let reality suppress your creativity. Let your cubicle become your command center. Let the world become your personal life-size playground. May you have the creativity to dream wild dreams and the courage to take one step closer to it. And when you release your dreams, you'll remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.